Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
This episode of Breaking Beauty Podcast is brought to you by the House of Chanel. Harnessing the revitalizing powers of the red camellia flower, Chanel Research introduces a new generation of sustainably developed skincare, Numero Un de Chanel. Beauty ahead of time. Discover the collection at Chanel.com.
Chanel introduces a new generation of sustainably developed skincare, infused with a high concentration of ingredients and derived from the uniquely revitalizing winter blooming red camellia flower. Packaged with lightweight glass, organic ink, and other bio-based materials, Numero Un de Chanel forges an unprecedented path of skincare innovation. Numero Un de Chanel, beauty ahead of time. To learn more about the line, visit Chanel.com.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Breaking Beauty Podcast. I'm Jill Dunn, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here virtually with Carlene Higgins, waving at
Hello.
Her as we speak.
Hi there.
So if you guys are newly tuning in, we are two beauty editors turned beauty podcasters here to tell you what's good. That's right. And we're into our fifth year officially doing our show. And you know, Carlene, there are still people on our bucket list. And our guest today was definitely one of those people for both of us for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And our guest is makeup artist extraordinaire Violette Serra.
So she actually goes on a single name basis, like rock star style Violette. She's become absolutely synonymous with French girl beauty, having racked up 425,000 followers on Instagram, 300,000 on YouTube, where followers tune in for her effortless beauty that's deeply creative, but also very natural. So it might be like a blue glitter eye with like French pharmacy lip balm. She just always looks on point, but like she hasn't tried too hard.
That's right. It's a whole mood. And Violette has worked in the industry for more than 15 years. She served as the international makeup designer for Dior, the global beauty director for Estee Lauder, and she's consulted on product development for Sephora. And most recently, in July of last year, she was announced as the creative director of Guerlain's makeup.
But the pivotal moment in Violette's career came no doubt with the launch of her own line, Violette FR, named after her Instagram account that launched just this past year.
Good French, Carlene. So for us Anglophones, that's Violette FR. It's how it's spelled.
Violette's namesake line. It was 3 years in the making, and it's a very tight curation of 11 products, including some very cool Zio paint. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. That's kind of franglais for eye paint. And they're these liquid eyeshadows and liners in one. So they're highly pigmented. They're meant to be worn either graphically like a cat eye, or you can smudge them in with your fingers. Very cool. Very like, it's ideal for us lazy slash busy types. You know what I mean? You want to be on the go, but you want to look good. Damn good.
Yeah, they're very multi-purpose, I would say, and each eye paint is around $38, just to give you guys an idea. And I think that no detail has been spared. I mean, the gold embossing on the lids, just everything has that artist touch,
which I really appreciate, and it makes it so much more enjoyable to use. And I think it's just that luxurious vibe, but it's accessible and effortless all at once. Leave it to Violette.
And everything in the line is environmentally conscious, cruelty-free, and vegan. Jill, I know you mentioned this line popped off so fast that they actually met their first month's sales goals within the first day that it went on sale. So I think people were just like chomping at the bit for Violette to launch her own line.
Yeah, the demand was definitely there. So today we're going to be talking to Violette about what the whole notion of French girl beauty means in 2022. And, you know, she has thoughts on Emily in Paris, don't we all? And she's also talking about how she's democratizing that idea and being more inclusive with it.
And we're definitely going to be getting a ton of tips from Violette, from how to achieve a sophisticated everyday makeup look, along with some newer ideas around how we might come to define 2022 in a beauty look that the New York Times is calling girl gaze makeup. Stay tuned until the very end to find out Violette's personal French pharmacy favorites, along with her getting unready skincare routine.
Here she is. Welcome, Violette.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty Podcast, Violette. I feel like you've become completely synonymous with the French girl aesthetic. You're like the national spokesperson. So tell us, what does that mean to you? How would you define the French girl look?
So it's funny because when I moved to the US, I, you know, I had an agent then and he told press, like magazine, that now I was living there. So I guess it started to raise a little bit of awareness on my profile. And so I started to have a lot of interviews, and all of them were about French beauty. Mm-hmm. But I was so confused. I was like, what do they mean, French beauty? What do they mean, French look? Because that's all I knew. So I was like, I had no idea. So I walked in New York, in the parks, in the subway, looking, and trying to absorb like a sponge and understand American culture. But what I love about New York is like, it's not just American. It's so diverse. So the people who live there, basically. I watched a lot of content as well, YouTube, to understand a little bit the trends, etc. And then I started to realize that it was actually very different, especially that at the time it was this sort of huge buzz around, you know, the contouring, these Instagram looks with like the perfect eyebrows and the layers of foundation and the baking and all this. And as a makeup artist, of course, I was aware of it because that's not new. You know, Kevin O'Quinn probably is the one who created it years ago. And so, of course, I was aware of this technique, but I never used those techniques. And so I was really like, wow, that's in France, it's so different. So then I started to understand, okay, French girls, we don't really put foundation. We definitely don't do contouring. Of course, it's an exception, like everywhere, but mostly. We don't wear false lashes. We like our brows to be a bit bushy and not too perfect. When we do smoky eyes, it has to be a little bit imperfect, like it's been worn. And so once I identify the differences, I try to understand why is that? Because I'm not a big fan of questions like that where it's just replying of a look. Then what does that give you? It doesn't inspire you in a way. It just gives you a little bit of tips and tricks. So I really wanted to understand the philosophy that brings us to create this aesthetic in order to feed you with this and make you inspired to not think like you are mimicking a French girl, but you are owning that aesthetic as well. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
I know what you're saying, though. It's like a state of mind, right? Like I have always felt that one thing that I do admire about French women is just that there is kind of a casual confidence where it's not trying too hard. You know what I mean? And I think that's what you're referring to.
Exactly. And I think the reason why it's interesting to look and understand why we create those different type of looks is because it tells you a story about the lifestyle and how to live that exactly maybe what you actually attracted to, but you don't know. You just see the first layer. And so what I like to do around like those years of studying both cultures is I really was able to kind of see through it like the Matrix, I think. So now I have this sort of exercise to take you through it. And it starts with, so have you walked in the street of Paris before?
Yes.
Of course.
You did. Yes.
Have you seen any people walking with coffee to go in the street?
Only baguettes in the bicycle basket. The cool girls are always eating the baguette in the street.
Yes. So that, to me, that's where it starts. And in New York, mm-hmm. you see every single person has a drink to go. We actually mm-hmm. going to sit down, and if you observe during spring, like warmer weather, all the terraces of the cafes are full with people with their like shot of espresso and a book. I think that's really where the lifestyle, the philosophy of life has an impact on the aesthetic as well, because the way we live in France is we want to be happy. That's all we care about. And we are a very mm-hmm. sensual person because our senses triggers emotions and makes us feel very alive. So we love good wine. We love good sex. Sorry, but that's true. We love good smells. Like, we love beautiful things for our eyes. Like, we are very sensitive to all these things because that's a way for us to feel ourselves and enjoy life. And so what does that mean is that we're not going to spend too much time in the bathroom because we want to be out there and enjoy life. We don't want to have a look that feels too stiff on us. Like maybe even hair extension. What if somebody wants to grab, like not grab, but like put his hand or her hand in your hair and, you know, kiss
have
you
that wild
quietly,
sex.
You know? Exactly. If you have hair extension, you're going to, oh my gosh, you're going to be very self-conscious. If it's same, like false lashes, we have to remove all these things. So we are like, listen, I want to be happy. I want to enjoy life. I want to be out there. So I don't want anything to restrain me from all of this. And also parallel to this, the thinking is we have a very irreverent relationship to ourselves in a way, to self-acceptance. So for example, we are who we are and we are raised, most of us, with this thought that we are born perfect. And mm-hmm. being different is being unique, and being unique is being irreplaceable. So who you are is perfect the way it is. And if somebody doesn't like that person you are, then good riddance. It's good to know almost. Like, you're like, okay, fine, then we don't need to be together. Mm. And then you start to accept who we are, and this self-acceptance that's quite irreverent attracts like a magnet people that are ready to love you for you. And so that also helps you with your aesthetic. Maybe you don't need mm-hmm. foundation. Maybe these dark mm-hmm. circles you have are actually cool. It makes you look a little bit more dramatic. So that's the kind of mentality that has an impact on aesthetic.
Definitely. And it comes to mind that Deanna Vreeland quote, which is like, how to have a beautiful, great life is the first thing you need to do is to arrange to be born in Paris. And after that, everything else follows quite naturally.
I mean, you are quite privileged.
It's true.
To be born in Paris.
Yeah,
it's true, but you can get away. I feel like you can get away with anything as long as you wear it with confidence, like anything. But that's so much easier said than done.
Exactly.
So it's interesting that it's sort of built into the culture. I'm curious, though, if like Botox and fillers and that, have you noticed a shift just because it is so kind of commonplace now? Is it more because I remember like earlier as a magazine editor was like, oh, no, we don't do that. And I just wonder now if more of your friends and that
It's so interesting. Fillers potentially might be a bit more used maybe. So people that, you know, have lines maybe around the mouth. But we love wrinkles, expression wrinkles. And also most of the wrinkles sometimes are just dryness from the skin. So again, we're always going to look at it in details and be like, do we want that? Do we need that? But definitely, again, a little bit... I think it was normalized, which is great too, because you don't want to stigmatize any. Some people, it really helped them feel better about themselves. So it's okay to do it. Really, it's fine. And I think in France, it was we were quite snob about it. Like, oh, you need to love yourself the way you are. This is embarrassing. You're doing this. That shows insecurity. Because in France, why we want to be effortless? Because we never want you to think we put so much effort, because that sounds like we are insecure. And we're very proud. We're Latin. We're very proud people. And so Botox and filler was a little bit seen that way. And I think thanks to the US, it got a little bit normalized, but not in the sense that it spread. More like, if you want to do it, it's okay. We're not going to shame you.
I'm curious, Violette, have you watched Emily in Paris?
Oh, yes.
What are your thoughts on that? And what do you think is the biggest beauty faux pas you've seen on that show that would never happen in Paris? Aside from Lily Collins' character, because I think they kind of do that on purpose. Like, they don't brush out her curls on purpose, things like that.
I have such a big problem with this.
Oh, it makes me cringe every time.
Tell us.
Yeah,
the
let's hear from you.
Hair. I remember I was with my husband and I can't help it. I scream in front of the TV show. I was able to watch season one. I was pissed the whole time, but I was able to. But season two, honestly, I did 3 episodes and I can't. It, to me, gotten worse to the point that I'm not even entertained by the wrongness of it, because sometimes
it's not so bad it's good anymore.
You know, exactly. It's not even good to me.
There was something about that first season, and I could only get through about half the episodes. There's eye candy to it. You know, you see Paris, and it also came out at a time when none of us have traveled, and I'm just like dying to go and sit on a terrace and sip a coffee and look at people that aren't wearing masks and whatnot. But then you just can't even look past that anymore. It doesn't even bring you joy because there's so many glaring things.
It is
that and, are not Parisian
but also
at all.
Pushing, I feel like Camille, that was like the character that I felt was the most realistic to my culture. Now she's like full on dressed, hair is full on done, makeup is full on done, and so I'm like, oh, okay, so we lost her, I guess, as well. and she's becoming like Emily Moore. So maybe it's on purpose. But somehow I'm not really. I don't know. I'm a bit skeptical about really how they think through the script, but. I was with my husband, the first story, I was with my husband, and I was looking at Emily's hair. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this one piece? And he was like, what? This is not hair. What is this material? I didn't even think it was the hair. So, yeah, you just want somebody to grab her and like.
Get a Mason Pearson and like run up behind her and just get through it all. That's what I want to do. I want to get through my TV. But I'm glad we got your like official take on that. Blower.
I mean, I don't want to sound like the offended French proud person. There are some truths that are hilarious in the first season about the fact that we talk shit all the time. That's true. That's something that annoys me even in France. Like when I was back for a month in the fall, like so many of my friends and work people were talking shit about other people. I was like, don't you have other things to do? Like I feel like at least in the US, we try to be positive and make effort to create a good, healthy environment. That's something I really appreciate from Americans. And we need to learn that a little bit more, at least in Paris. I don't think it's
less complaining, right? The boss, she loves to complain and look down her nose and whatnot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And why do you need to look at the other person and like, I don't see what you're gaining here. And even a very good friend of mine. And I got a bit annoyed at them. So that was true. But the thing about like, we have sex with everyone. We are unfaithful. We don't give a shit about betraying people we love. And we have like... Yeah, we don't eat, we just smoke. Things like this. I was like, oh, this is... even the city, the way it was shot, like, all these things was, to me, feeding, again, this fantasy around France that's really not accurate. I was so excited. I loved the idea of that show before it came out. And I think it had huge potential. But it should have been much more realistic. If you look at this TV show, French TV show called 10%, that's French culture. That's Paris.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Right, on my watch list. I think it's interesting, though. It's true. Like, at some point, you need to move beyond cliche, right? And times are changing. And I think that's one of the things about your new line that's so interesting and so appealing is that, and we're certainly not the first to say this, that it's sort of democratizing that idea of French girl beauty and like your campaigns and you have women of all ages and it's not just as one note and one look. Can you tell us about that and whether that was intentional or, you know, what went into that?
Yeah, it was so important. Like, you know, we were thinking before I launched and is there other beauty experts that are French and have a beauty brand? And I couldn't think of somebody. So I felt like, oh, okay, so very easily I could try to own that Frenchness in beauty and work toward that. That could have been the goal. So yeah, it could be really easy to go into the French, own the French cliche worldwide and sell through this. But I want to do things intentionally and I really care actually about the mission of the brand, which is restoring people's relationship to themselves with beauty. And I think beauty has a huge impact on how we feel. It's much more connected to mental health than people might think. And I'm trying to take the beauty industry towards this mental health tool instead of something like a plastic surgeon or something to anything physically. And so if I do that, I need to really look at the issues we have in the beauty industry. One of them is representation. And I'm not talking just about ethnicity or cultures. I'm also talking about age. And I tried to cast women starting 45. Now, I cast women for every age, but where I had the most trouble, but like really crazy trouble to find women from 40, I would say, to 60. That mm-hmm. age group is not really represented, and I really struggled, and I was like, this is nuts. It's like, as soon as you're 40, you out, and you come back when you have white hair. And
so true.
Right?
It's so true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
And also, I don't want to see women that are 50 that have zero wrinkles, and it doesn't help me age. I feel like with this DNA, it's really hard to age. I feel like that too. I feel conscious and scared, and I want us to be a safe place where we can hold your hand and be like, you are welcome, you are seen, and every age should be celebrated because aging is a privilege. So mm-hmm. so yeah, representation is extremely important. And then, okay, we want to use a French philosophy because it's my culture, but also because of the tool I told you about that could be very beneficial for your mental health. But instead of just saying, like, kind of what you were saying, like, okay, just be confident, how do we take you there? So there mm-hmm. is so much philosophy behind it, and also education in order to give you the tools that are accessible for you to achieve realistically those looks or the skincare routine or whatever. So that's why I say my brand is very much education, philosophy, products, and we have to make sure we provide enough content for all these pillars.
It's so smart. And I think even just watching some of your videos, and of course, you know, it's funny, you originally kind of came from YouTube. That's an integral part of your journey and sort of the makeup vlogging. But I think the fact that you had this aspirational look, but they are wearable. And even the way that you apply makeup is, you know, a lot of using your fingers, and it just feels a bit less intimidating. Like, oh, this isn't for me because I'm not a makeup artist already. And I love that. And I noticed that on your YouTube, the Natural Sophisticated Look video has the most views by far at 1.1 million views. So now that we've talked a lot about your philosophy, I do think we want to give some handy tips to our listeners. So first of all, tell us, like, why do you use your fingers to apply almost every step of your routine? What's that about?
Well, it's so much quicker because you don't have to clean your brush. You just have to clean your hands, and then you have 10 brushes ready to go. Also, the skin texture is actually amazing to blend textures. And also, mm-hmm. it's a bit warm and you have a bit of oil. So all these elements are actually perfect to do makeup. And so that's why Beauty Blender got so successful, because I feel like it's what's the closest from the skin almost. Mm. If you could maybe warm the sponge, maybe it will be even better. And so with hair, sometimes it separates the formula, it doesn't warm it up, so it doesn't help you blend quickly. So to me, the fastest route was this. And also, I always do my makeup on the go. And so then I have my fingers, because then you put back your brushes in the bag, it's dirty, and then it's going to make your bag dirty. So it's just like this... I mean, I remember when I lived in Paris in my smart car, I was doing my makeup at the red light every morning in my car. So that's really the truth. And I think I didn't expect it to be helpful for people because it would be less intimidating. But that's the feedback I had. And I started to understand why, especially because I've seen all these YouTube videos where people do, you know, this makeup that takes a lot of time with a lot of tools. But I think hair is much more technical. But makeup is not. Makeup is like art. Do whatever you want. Put whatever color you want, however you want it. Use whatever instrument and tools you want to use. We don't need all these rules in beauty for makeup.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the great debate regarding like getting your skin right, because I feel like that is one of the tenets of French beauty for sure, is like having skin that looks great and glowy and natural. So what's your go-to sort of in terms of using concealer or foundation or both? And how do you apply it? And what's sort of your favorites of the moment?
So I think before concealer, the base is actually extremely key. And it's funny because I did a work session with a content director about skin prep. And I told her about, you know, now it's been 20 years I'm in industry and I've seen so many skin. And sometimes I've seen skin where the skin barrier was so damaged that I couldn't even put foundation on the skin. Mm-hmm. And I had this campaign, beauty campaign shoot. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I had to do some quick fix. And I came up with like this sort of like layering and product that I used that instantly helped the skin and then I could layer it. So that's why when I developed Boom Boom Milk, it took me 3 years and it really was a nightmare, but I was so stubborn. That's the first product I focused on before even color. Because if I'm telling you, you don't need this foundation on your skin, just take care of your skin, but then I don't provide any concrete solution, I felt like I was kind of letting people down.
Yeah.
And I wanted this brand to be holistic. So I take you with me. I want you to feel like I got you.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with these two experts in France that have like 30 years of experience, like incredible. They're the one who created the first certified organic skincare brand in France 20 years ago, like really pioneer in the industry. And they focused on something that penetrates the skin extremely quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was obsessed with inflammation because of all the skin I've seen. And like reduce inflammation immediately, nourish, hydrate, calm down, and then have this tiny bit of stickiness in order for you to be able to put your makeup on. Because if it's too oily and it slides, then it's a nightmare to put your makeup on. So actually, that product for me is really like the key in order to have the best base for your makeup. But it's the only product I use for skincare now,
mm-hmm.
beside SPF, of course, and cleansing. Only in the winter, I'm going to add a barrier cream because the system in the US for heater is very different in France. In France, we have those radiator with hot water in it. So it's humidified air. Here is like this like blow, like it blows
it's very dry much
air in your face. And I can feel like all the water coming out of my epidermis. So that's why you need something else in the winter. But to me, that's all I use. And it has been doing a miracle. It's a hero product today. It's number two
bestseller. I love this product. I'm wearing this today. Mm-hmm. And just for any of our listeners who haven't heard about it, the Boom Boom Milk, it's a moisturizing spray. So it's very unique. Like I had never seen a product like this. You might think of like a spritz or a toner that usually is like a watery or even oil-based. This one really is like a milk. And you get enough product that you can spread it around and it gives you a full coating like a moisturizer. It's very unique and refreshing. I love it. I really like
it. Thank you.
Cream spray.
I really like it. And I actually predict, and I hate to say this to you as the developer who worked on it for 3 years, but I think people are going to rip this off. I think it's going to be a big, and actually I saw on Instagram that Curel has a moisturizing spray and I was like, what is this? Is it creamy like a milk? Because I'm predicting, but anyway, yours is the OG and I love it.
He will always be the OG. But yeah, it's also a probiotic based formula because they have been fermented. We respect as much as we can the environment. So the 38% of our formula is birch sap that has been fermented and that's harvested once a year. And we respect all of the process of nature. So this product is made with so much love. So I'm happy that you get the success you really deserve, I think, today. And then when it comes to, back to your question about concealer. So I don't really use foundation. I have contact dermatitis all the time. So even when I do facial now, like the esthetician has to put a product and wait to see how my skin is going to react. That's kind of crazy. Mm. And so I can't really wear foundation. But concealer is really my best friend, especially I had a little girl.
So cute.
So, and I like that because it's a quick, like it's a quick support. Like you can remove a little bit of dark circles. You can blend like a little pimple you have or something. And that quickly makes you feel that your skin is a little bit more even. So then it can allows you to put like crazy eyeshadows on your eyes and look fresh. So the quest for the best concealer though, to me, I don't think we're there yet, but there are a few that are.
Which ones do you like? Name drop.
I think I like the Too Faced, Pat McGrath, and the Shiseido, but it dries a bit fast to me. So I would say that I've probably tried all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
I want to talk about eyeliner because when I watched that video, you mentioned that you had been using the same technique for 20 years, but it doesn't look dated. So this is a bit of a trick. So it doesn't look like a hard line. So tell us what you do.
Which one? The one where I blend the eyeliner or the one between the lash line?
Between the lash line.
Yeah.
The eyeliner.
So that's actually a very old technique. I didn't invent it myself. Mm-hmm. That was from even like the 80s and probably the 70s where in order to make the lashes look more full, they will color the lash line. And I never seen really people talking about that technique, which to me, that's the first thing I've used since day one where I was able to do makeup. It's a bit scary at first because you're like, wait, my waterline? Is it above? No, it's really in between. You coloring the roots, because most of us, we don't have enough lashes to cover the entirety of the skin. So when you put mascara on, by contrast, you're going to see more the skin where there's mm-hmm. no lash. And same with eyeliner you put on top. So then you have this sort of like skin line between the lashes. And what then it looks like makeup. Well, if you have that big lash line, like full lash line, and then you have the smoky eye or the eyeliner, you almost feel like the makeup is coming from your lash line. There's something much more natural in a way. It also really spice your eye in a way, because it contrasts with your eye color, brings a bit of definition, but when you close your eyelid, you can't see it. So it looks super natural.
With your finger, do you smudge it in?
I'd like to, because then the tiny bit of shadow is going to go a tiny bit above the lash line, so it's not a harsh line. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do mm-hmm. that. And yeah, like brown or black, brown is the best to me, especially metallic brown. That's my favorite, because highlight is going to bring a bit of something.
Okay, which one? Which one?
The one from Estée Lauder called Burgundy Suede is one of my favorites, because it has a bit of purple. So if it's going to push the green you have in your eyes. But yeah, like not a line, like a liquid eyeliner, like really like an eye pencil is the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Love it.
But I have a question for myself who has hooded eyelids, and for anybody out there who's listening who has hooded eyelids, do you have a trick to avoid eye makeup transfer? Because I find, especially with liquid eyeliner or cream formulas, it's just right away it will go up into the middle.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious if you have a trick for that.
So Zurpaint, for example, like you need no transfer products. That's what liquid eyeshadows are the best option for you, I think. Or any waterproof eye pencil, jumbo eye pencil, or liquid eyeliner, waterproof. If we go, for example, with your paint, I mean, that works actually. This thing I'm going to tell you works for anything that you use that is no transfer and waterproof. It's to do your makeup with your chin up, so then you have a flat eyelid. Apply it, blend it, and stay that way until the product is dry. And that's, you should, for example, with your paint, you should not have any transfer. I mean, it's almost like this product is crazy long-lasting.
It really is. It has increased at all. I didn't even put an eye primer on, and I have it, like, I wore it all over my lid and sort of, like, did it, like, more like a smoky look, and there's no creasing. That was a few hours ago. So it definitely dries, you know, dries
down. You need a waterproof remover because of that. We didn't test for the claim waterproof because it's a lot of money, and, you know, I just launched, so we had to make some sacrifices, but really, it is really waterproof. I tested it.
I just wanted to ask you about your quote that was in the New York Times recently about this huge 2022 makeup trend all about girl gaze makeup. So maybe we can tell our listeners what that is all about and why you think it's going to be sort of the look of the new year.
I think colors are back, and it's funny because the New York Times came to me because I've launched a lot of colors, which is bold, some of them for a first launch. That's a risk. And they asked me, what's your bestseller? And I said, the blue one, the metallic blue one, is my number one bestseller, which is unheard of. It's the most non-on-trend data I could give, because usually it's more like neutral colors that perform the best. And blue is, I remember my days with all the brands I work with in the past. It was like, they were like, blue and purple, don't really go there. It doesn't sell. So it's not true. Again, it depends on the mood of people at that time, and it depends on how you create that color. I think precision in the color is key if you want it to be wearable but creative. And that's really where my expertise lie and I focus on. But yeah, so they came to me to talk more about this then. And I said, you know, I think we've been taken away a big part of what we enjoyed in life with COVID, and half of our face is covered now. And how much more ways do we have to express ourselves and to really enjoy all these things in life? And like even travel, I feel like all these things have been more like limited to us, create some sort of like energy and life desire to, you know, enjoy ourselves, stuck somewhere. And then a very accessible way to express that energy is through makeup, because not everyone, but most people can afford it. You have now amazing products that are much more accessible. It's something you can quickly do and remove. It doesn't take too much time. So it's a very accessible way to express that energy. And especially with a new generation, it's more than just aesthetic. It's a statement of who they are. So it was amazing, this story, because they asked me to give products and do a little notebook with some tips. And this will be like sort of like a guide of makeup in a way. Mm-hmm. And they will give that to people they're going to photograph, and these people will do their own makeup. And I thought that was amazing, because you can really see what people are into right now. And I really think we can see it with ourselves. The other colors, our bestsellers are Scarabée d'Or, which is this gold-green metallic color, and Ciel de Nuit, who is matte, blackish, blue color. And that's so interesting to see people want color, they want fun, and they want to use makeup as almost like a fashion piece, like an accessory, like beautiful earrings or something. So
yeah. And yeah, the whole vibe is just like, we're away from that no makeup makeup. It's like we're using these like very accessible products, but using color again, which feels really nice. Mm-hmm. And we'll definitely link to this article in our show notes and on our website, because the looks are just so great and just really inspiring how they all sort of chose to wear it.
Yeah,
I think that's part of why people really do follow what you do. And in a way, it's not surprising that, you know, blue glitter is your best-selling cosmetic product, because you've kind of shown us and all of the people who follow you how to wear it in a way that feels very organic. And I think that's really unique. I'm not, you know, I never would have thought that blue glitter could look natural, but you do have a way of achieving that. So is there one tip you can kind of give us in terms of how to wear it to get that look like it's not costumey?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a balance of everything. So as much as you can, natural skin, because that's what's going to bring you the effortlessness. And I always say, if you want to look effortless, you need effortless technique. There's no miracle and other way around it. So if you want to do a blue smoky eye, that's going to take you a bit of time. So everything else should not take you time and should be very easy. So very easy skin, a little bit of thing here and there. If your skin doesn't need anything, you think, then great, don't even do anything. I would always advise a little bit of pink blush, and you can adapt the shade based on your skin tone, just because you always want to balance out. If you go, you know, every color is with a blue base or red base or yellow base. So if you go with a blue base, which is the blue we're going to be talking about, then you need to bring a little bit of red in your skin, because otherwise it's going to bring out the yellow and the blue of your own skin tone. So you go with the opposite as your blush. And it's the same if you go with like the pink one you guys are wearing today, maybe a blush that's a little bit more neutral or brownie or apricot color or peach even, not super red. That kind of balance is very good. And I always like to have like this glowy skin. So I don't use powder highlighters. I know they're very popular because they have this shine, and you have now very moisturized texture that brings a glow. But to me, Bone Shine is like exactly what I wanted. I worked on it for years. It's squalane stick, basically, with what I call mirror pigments. So they don't color anything, but they're just going to reflect the light. So that's going to give you this sort of glass skin. So you very much feel like your own skin. So the skin itself is like fresh, but looks natural. And then you go to your eyes, and always when I apply strong colors, I have this crayon, like eye pencil in my lash line, black mascara. Because you want the intensity to go from your lash line. That what makes it less like a sticker. It looks like it's been worn. I don't know why, but it really does. And then always the intensity by the lash line. So that means like when you wear a blue eyeshadow, make it more intense on the mobile part of your eyelid. And then the rest just blend it in the crease. So you don't go too high. But for most people, just go a little like under your crease and then just blend it up just gently. I'm a fan of just one color because it's one statement, one color is not too much. I don't like to have a liner on top. I don't like to have false lashes. To me, that's the most wearable way of wearing blue, is just one color, black mascara, and that's it.
Love it. Can't wait to try it.
I want a picture.
Okay. We know that we've talked lots about makeup because, you know, that's what you're all about. But we need to have you maybe talk us through your sort of get unready routine. Like, what do you do at night for your skin? I know you talked about not really wearing a lot of foundation and that kind of thing because you have contact dermatitis. Like, what are some of your steps to make your skin ready for bed?
I double cleanse, and I know some people think it's actually might be irritating for your skin, but it really depends on your technique and the products you use. Because I've been using milk remover, which is a big thing in France. We use most of the time milk remover.
Which one do you like?
I like the one from Biologique Recherche, but it's a bit expensive. Otherwise, you have La Roche-Posay, which is perfect. You like no fragrance, very gentle. And I used to use that and then rinse off with a lot of water. But I got into double cleanse when I discovered this face oil from Purito that has this amazing texture. And I don't know how to explain, but it's, you know how it's a pain in the ass to remove your makeup, right? And somehow this product makes me enjoy it. I don't know why. It's, the texture is unique, wonderful. It melts every dirt and makeup immediately. So my yeux paint that are super strong, dissolved in 2 seconds with it. And I massage on dry skin, in the lashes, like really make sure everything is massaged. And then I take a tiny bit of water and I pat it onto my skin in a massage again just to prep the oil for the water. And then I rinse off. Then I use a gel cleanser. So for this, I'm a little bit less picky than the oil, especially that I have contact dermatitis with every oil I use, but this one. And so for the gel, I like the one from the Nuco because it's very focused on the barrier of the skin, which is a big focus of mine. I used the most recent one from Glossier that it was a little bit stronger, but very good to really deeply cleanse the skin. Pink Cloud from Herbivore. There's many that are great. And you just wash it like, you know, gel cleanser on your face with water. And once I'm done, I don't totally pad off the water from my face. I keep it. I spray tons of bamboo milk, especially in the winter. And in the winter, I'm going to add on top of it a barrier cream to lock the moisture and make sure it prevents from any water loss. And sometimes I even put a bit of ointment from CeraVe. How do you call this? Like the,
like a balm?
Yeah. Like this ointment, like feels like a Vaseline almost. To like around my nose, on my lips, sometimes even under my eyes to lock the moisture even more.
And what's the barrier cream you're going to go for?
So it's the one I'm launching in March because I couldn't find one that was the cream of my dream. And I wanted to do a barrier cream because to me, I love the milk. I think it absorbs so quickly. We can do so much more with this formula. But then a cream for me, the purpose of a cream for me is more the barrier aspect I love.
Boom Boom Barrier Cream. You heard it here first. I made that name up, but it's probably something cool like that. Now, we just have a few more couple of rapid fire questions to get through. So picture this. You land in Paris. You get off the plane. You go to the French pharmacy. What's the first thing you're buying?
There's so many things. I'm going to buy medicine, first of all, because it's way less sugar and I can eat tons of salt, but sugar makes me really sick. So I go with this a lot. So that first thing, and especially with my kids, that's really the one thing I think about is medicine. Otherwise, there is this homeopathy ampoules that I love to use as a short treatment on my skin. So it's, I think you call this trace elements in English. Okay. So like selenium, manganese, that are very good for your skin function. And so I use this almost like essence before applying Boom Boom Milk.
And since topical.
I have Boom Boom Milk. Yes. I mean, usually you're supposed to drink it, but I use it on my skin.
Ampoule, and you just break it.
You break it, probably cut yourself, French way, like they don't care. And but it's great. What else? Now, the lip balms are the best. So there is Omeoplasmine, but the stick one that I love.
Ooh, but I haven't tried even the stick.
It's the best. Also, Biafine. I mean, that's like a miracle in a bottle. Oh, and I love because we have, I mean, I'm not the most fan of tampons. It's not the healthy for our flora, but we do have probiotic-based tampons. I mean, not based, but like probiotic tampons. And I love that they think of our flora there. So I buy them also.
Smart.
So I buy that.
I don't know how much time you spend on TikTok, Violette, but what viral TikTok makeup trend that makes you just shake your head?
So the only reason I know is because I did an interview about TikTok trends a few weeks ago, but I lost my login. and
story.
Yeah. It's a bit overwhelming for me, TikTok, but I understand why people like it. What did I see recently? Oh, yeah. Applying foundation with a jade roller. Oh. I was like, well, yeah. So you don't need to do it. No, okay. I don't need to try. I already know it's not a very comfortable application. One of the reasons this person was saying it's great is because, you get all the products you applied, but you actually want the Beauty Blender to absorb some of it because you don't want too much on it. So I actually didn't like the sort of paint. I'm painting my face sort of gesture. And then how do you do under your eyes? It's too aggressive under your eyes and on your eyelid and in the corner. How are you supposed to do? I was like, I thought it was a mess.
Yeah. Agreed.
What's your ride or die all-time favorite red lipstick you've been wearing for forever?
So before my own, it was the number one lip stain from Sephora.
Okay.
That I really, really adored. Beautiful color, super wearable, very comfortable. Mine, I'm going to say it honestly, I don't want to sound biased, but I've been dreaming of it since I'm 8 years old. Once I saw a black rose in the Bagatelle garden in Paris, I was so mesmerized. I was like, okay, I need to make this as a lipstick. And so finally I did it. So it's my favorite by far. Otherwise, and I'm not saying that because I work with Guerlain, but I remember when I signed my contract with them, they sent me the big launch of the year. And let me tell you, I was so nervous because I didn't work on it. And I'm such a crazy person with formula and colors. I was like, what if I don't like it? There's no way I can promote it. Like, I can't. I cannot. What am I going to do? So I was like, okay, don't freak out. Don't think about it yet. Just get the formula and see. But I was so nervous. And when I applied it, it was so good. I was so real. I was like, oh my God, thank you. It's amazing. Honestly.
That's the Rouge, I believe, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
The really fancy one.
The formula is incredible because it slides perfectly. It slides, it glides on your lips, but it drops a perfect amount of pigment. So it's very the first glide, you're like, oh wow. And it's so comfortable to wear. The colors are gorgeous, but we're going to do even more gorgeous colors. But yeah, definitely, this one is amazing.
I have a friend's mom who is always asking, not always asking, she's very polite. She's like, do you have any more of those Guerlain lipsticks? So Violette, tell us what your biggest indulgence is.
Indulgence is like a guilty pleasure?
Yeah. Like a luxury you enjoy.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I don't have guilty pleasure. If I have pleasure, I don't have guilt. I mean, to be honest, it's really simple things. Because I launched a brand and had a baby sort of at the same time because I built my brand when I was pregnant. And, I went from being alone, with my boyfriend at the time that became my husband, but alone with a freelance job. So extremely free, traveling the world and doing all these things. And suddenly I got drowned with work, amount of work. And then having a baby is a big shift in your lifestyle. So I feel like I've aged 40 years in 1 year. And now my pleasure are like taking a bath with a glass of wine and listening to classical music in the background or reading a book because I can read one book a year now instead of one in a month. So honestly, that's really it. I would say I gave myself a Christmas gift and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this a ritual. Now,
yes,
I think every
what was it?
It was a pair of shoes from Chanel, and it's definitely very expensive, so it's a treat. I was like, okay, maybe I'll buy one pair of shoes from Chanel every Christmas from now on.
I like this ritual.
Vision board, honestly. Vision board.
Yep. I'm with you. Maybe I'll join you. And our last question, what's next for Violette, the person or the makeup line?
So the beauty line, we have 11 launches this year.
Wow.
Oh gosh, it gives me
that's a lot.
Vertigo. So yeah, we have a lot of things happening this year. On a personal level, I think I would like to grow my family. I'm a bit scared also because we just reached this amazing balance right now. It took us, 2.5 years to get there. And it wasn't torture or anything, but now I can feel like, I have my life back a bit. But it's really my dream. So yeah, that's where my thoughts are. I mean, growing the family and growing the business. And more than growing the business, we didn't have time to position the brand where I really wanted to be because I did everything on my own, and then I raised money, and then COVID happened and everything shut down, and I hired people on Zoom, and it was such a mess. And so we launched, and then it was much bigger success than what we thought it was. So I had to raise money again to buy inventory and get a bigger team to help support me. And so I didn't have time to work on the details that really matter to me. So that's really my big goal for this year, is to be able to tell the story of this brand how I really want it.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes, on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast chat room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix: Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.